And here, it was always between Christmas and New Year's, we have a special sermon time. A couple of people have asked me during the week, who's speaking on Sunday? And I said, you are. And what I mean is the congregation, everybody has an opportunity, time permitting, to describe how God has moved in your life, what he's done for you, in you, through you, to others. And so this is your opportunity, the once a year opportunity, where we take up the whole sermon time and everybody gets to speak what God has done, is doing, or will do. And I'll start, because it's easier to be second, right? I had the opportunity to go on a pilgrimage in September with a few of you here. Gary Racine, he led the pilgrimage. It was in Galicia, that's northwestern Spain. We hiked the last 120-something miles of the Camino de Santiago de Compostela, which is one of the most famous pilgrimages in the world. Among Christians, that one and the one to Rome and one to Jerusalem are the three top pilgrimages. And I was concerned going into it because I can run into problems, especially with my back. If I do something that hurts my back, I can be immobilized for 3 days. This has been happening to me for decades, and I have to be careful. When I mean immobilized, I mean like on the fourth day, I'm finally able to crawl to the bathroom. I mean, I am immobilized. If I'm going to move in bed, Ann comes and moves me, it's just like, oh my gosh. So I knew that if I run into trouble somewhere that, like, I'm stuck. Everybody's going to move on. They're not going to hang out with me for 3 days. And then, even then, I wouldn't be able to walk very well. So I was concerned about that. I am so thankful. I am so thankful that the Lord brought me through without any significant problems. There's always little things that come up. That happens to all the pilgrims. But I made it without having to stop for 3 days somewhere, especially if I'm not in a hotel or something. If it happens on the trail, then, you know, I got a big problem, big, big problem. So I was concerned, but the Lord heard my cry and answered my prayer and got me through, and it was a good experience for myself, and I think for everybody else in our group. We had a group of 15 there. So praise God. I'm thankful to him for that. Who's second? Mike.
Well, I want to thank everybody for all the prayers for Cindy and I, especially Cindy, with what she's been going through. And then I want to say, I want to thank the Lord that the last month and a half, my doctor's visits all came out great, and I had no problems. And I just want to say thank you, Lord.
All right. Thank you. Who's next?
I'll help this going, keep it going. Just first of all, when he mentioned the baptism, quick testimony, I was baptized 3 times as an infant, being Catholic, Catholic Charismatic at age 12 by my parents in a lake, which didn't quite mean enough for me, and then as an adult. So I think all three of those were significant. It's like the Orthodox, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So that's just a cute thing. You know, change is not easy for any of us. Psychiatrists have, and psychological studies have proven that even when we're excited about a change, like buying a house or getting married, there's stress involved. And I was one of those people growing up, I did not like change, and it caused a lot of anxiety. You know, last year, or this year, has been a lot of change. And there's been loss. There's been real grief here, and we don't talk a lot about that, but there's been some dear people here in this congregation who've gone on to heaven, and then there's others of you who've lost, in addition, parents, loved ones, brothers, sisters. And that change, which causes suffering and stress and grief, Here's a good scripture for that. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And in my own personal journey this year, I got kind of stuck in the stress and the grief and not knowing how to process other losses. Sometimes they layer and you don't know how to get through it. And the Lord helped me get unstuck in my own process. And I'm thankful for change, even when there's pain. And because of this next scripture, I am very thankful for the change that he brings us. Because, you know, he never changes. We know that. And we take comfort in that. But when we go through those changes, it's not easy. But the gift of the suffering and the grief and the pain this year for me has been knowing that I'm becoming just a little bit more, just a little bit more like Christ. And I want to close with this scripture in 2 Peter. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. And self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord. And therefore, I'm thankful for the pain, the suffering, the grief, the change that brings stress, because I'm encouraged to see those lists that I just read increasing in incremental, little incremental bits in my life. And I hope you all can relate to that as you reflect back at this year as well. Amen.
All right. John.
Good morning, everyone. I'm certainly feeling all of 67 years old, that's for sure. But God's sustaining me, and in this past year, as I just sometimes get overwhelmed with all the experiences of life, a mother who may pass soon, my own health and frailties, I'm not much less challenged than Dan in some areas. But I praise the Lord that he is good, and he has really opened my eyes to his kingdom. And I see what it's like to walk in the kingdom, and especially at courtside ministries where there's such blindness sometimes. And yet I've had the privilege. There were two times when I was involved with leading somebody to Christ. And it was like they received, I saw it. They received life, they recognized God, they knew he was there, and they accepted him. And I just praise God for this church that helps me keep my perception of the kingdom of God. Today has reinforced that so much with the declaration, the baptism. What does God require of you, oh man, to love justice, no, to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? And he is always with you. And he's just really revived that in my heart this year, and I praise the Lord for that.
Awesome. All right. You know, the psalmist says, I will praise you in the great congregation. Whether you think this is a great congregation or not, this is your opportunity. Patrick. Oh, by the way, as you're walking up here, in courtside ministry this year, we go to the King County Courthouse Wednesday mornings. During the year, we prayed for, I don't know how many hundreds of people, hundreds, and 21 people made first-time commitments to Jesus Christ, and another 6 made serious recommitments. So we praise God for the work of his Holy Spirit.
Well, through my life, I've been in and out of religion. Started off as a Baptist most of my life, but in and out of it, in and out of it, in and out of it. Became a Christian quite a few years ago, say about 25 years ago. Did that for quite some time. Then I still have my doubts, and I had wonders about the Catholic Church. So a couple years back, I decided to go to a Catholic Church. I felt God was telling me, you need to learn this. So I went to the Catholic Church and started kneeling before altars and different things, learned all the different ways of praying and kneeling and everything else. But there was one thing that really got to me. It was relics inside altars and different things that they put inside altars. But when I felt God telling me, don't bow before nothing or no one but me. So I decided to come back to a Christian church because he sent me back to a Christian church. I was going to go to a different one, but I came back here. I felt a calling when I first walked in here. And I first walked back into the church after a couple of years. I looked at the pews. It says, yuck. I wanted to redo them. And I felt that was a calling to have them done by Christmas. So it was just amazing.
Way to go. Yeah, way to go. Thank you, Patrick. You know, all churches have issues that we probably not even aware of. I mean, God knows what they are. But I'm telling you, I love the Catholic, I love the Roman Catholic Church. I love the Orthodox Church, and I love the Protestant Church, the three major branches of Christianity. Together, we're going to make a beautiful bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking for a big bride, not a skinny model, but he's looking for a big, beautiful bride. All right, who's next? All right, Gary, and then Ann.
Yeah, let me hold this thing. You can jab me in the side if I take too long. So one of the things I've learned is I don't do well living alone. I kind of gut through it. You know, that's what I do with most things. I gut through it. But I have this past year learned to draw closer to God. I mean, he hasn't moved. He never moves, but I drew closer to him. And I have felt his, you know, I always ask, Lord, I want to feel your presence. I want to feel your love. And this has happened. I mean, I feel his presence and his love. And then most of the day, I'm talking to him most of the day. In my mind, sometimes audibly. So I thank God for that. And I still have a long way to go. But I'm seeking his direction this next year, I think, as we all are. Big change for me. I retired full time. That was tough. But I want God to guide me. And I want to run the race that he's called me to run. And it doesn't involve working full time. So looking for his direction, and I thank him for his faithfulness in my life.
Gary, I'm looking forward to seeing what adventures God puts you in. And?
Well, a few things. This is a great congregation.
Amen.
And I love the pews and the backs of the pews and the people sitting in the pews.
Especially the people sitting in the pews.
That's right. And God is looking for a big bride, big, beautiful bride, because he is big and beautiful. And I've just been struck this year by a lot of people I know doing very ordinary things. And sometimes ordinary just feels so mundane and not all that great. But you know what? It is. It is, because Jesus came here to live with us the way we live. And I think those ordinary things that we do, and those taking care of babies and caring for the needy and caring for one another are really holy, holy, holy things. And I see so much of that going on, and I'm so thankful. So.
You know, sometimes it does seem like we spend a lot of our time doing mundane things. But you're right. They're holy as we care for each other. And listen, this is your chance. This is your one chance to do mundane things while you're still walking this earth. Because when you get to glory, forget the mundane. All right, who's next?
Talking, but something somebody said made me think of something. I just wanted to say I've been a Christian most of my life, but I was only baptized 2 years ago because I was raised in the Quaker church and they don't do water baptisms. So I went through it, where's Chuck? I went through it like 2 years ago. But I want to say I've been involved in Emmanuel prayer for several years, and I've been trained in it and actually trained people in it, and there's this whole process that you go through to connect people. And it's a wonderful experience with people, you know, connecting with God or Jesus. And so I was surprised when I heard about this courtside ministries. I'm like, they just go and talk to people that are going into the courtroom. So I've actually been a few times recently. And it's amazing to me that these people who are in a hurry, they're going into their court, they're rushing into court, they don't have a lot of time. And you don't have a lot of time to, you know, train them or teach them about all the different steps. But somehow, the Holy Spirit meets them, and they feel the presence of God. They come to tears. They're very touched by what we're doing. I think it's a wonderful ministry.
Amen, it is. And you do great at it, Pam. We really have a wonderful team. In fact, this coming Saturday, our team has been invited to go to a one-day conference in Tinley Park for African-American pastors and leaders to offer prayer to people. Noon to 6 on Saturday. So I give thanks to all the people who are part of Courtside Ministries. Yeah, some people, you know, some people going in, they don't know if they're coming out. They know if they lose, they get transferred next door. And we had a couple of people, they knew they weren't coming out because they plea bargained, and one of them was facing a 2-year sentence. He was turning himself in, the other a year and a half. Both those guys came to Christ on their way to prison. I mean, they had a felt need for help. And so we want to be there for them. Who's next? Mike. Unless there's something pressing, this will have to be the last one. Does anybody else want to speak? I mean, I'll give you 3 seconds to raise your hand. 2, 1. Okay.
Well, it's been a kind of a tough year, but an uplifting year as well. You all know Celeste passed. You all know. What happens there is that everything in your life changes. And the biggest change for me has been growing closer to the Lord and relying on him daily, you know, daily, you know, half an hour at least in the morning and hopefully another half hour in the evening, just sitting and being with him and spilling it all. Everything that's going on, everything I don't understand, everything that I need to know, everything that I'm worried about, spilling it all. And so this last year has been a lesson in that. Also this last year, the Lord has granted me the privilege of allowing me to sometimes see things that are happening in the spiritual realms. I don't know what you call that. All I know is I get impressions. And I wanted to share one that happened 5 weeks ago. I was at a church in, I'm sorry, I'm losing it. I was in a church going to a thing called a Taze prayer meeting. And it's a very quiet, meditative meeting with songs and a little tiny band and just allowing you to get in touch with the Lord. And during that meeting, we were each given a candle, not unlike these here, but we were given a candle, and at a certain point, third song in, somebody comes around, lights your candle, and you do a song, and with a candle lit in front of you, and then after that song, you're supposed to take your candle up to the front, and there is a little subaltar, and that altar has two big bowls of sand on it. And so you have to walk up, take your candle, don't blow it out, take and set it into these bowls. And so I'm sitting towards the back on the aisle, where I always sit, and I get up and I put my candle in and walk back, sit down, and all of a sudden I get the sense that there's somebody next to me, and I feel someone pass, and I look up, and it's a vision, and it's Celeste. She walks up to the front. She has a candle. It's lit. And it looks just like this. The flame is about this high. And she walks up to the front. And by the time she gets to the front, on the right-hand side of the altar, as you look at it, Jesus is standing there. And she walks right up to him and gets right in front of him, eye to eye, just like this. And she takes her candle and she passes it to him. And he looks at it, and he reaches up, and he grabs the candle. And before she lets go of it, she says to him, "This is the light that you gave me. I'm now returning it to you." And he takes the candle, and he turns to his right, and there's an angel standing there. And he gives the candle to the angel. The angel takes it, and the angel turns to his right, which would be back here, and is turned for a few seconds, and then when the angel comes back, the angel is holding this glowing garment, and the garment is the same color and brightness as each of these candles, but now the candles have been reduced from this big, it's been reduced down to this big, but there's hundreds, if not thousands, of these tiny candles making up the fabric of this robe. So he takes the robe from the angel and shows it to Celeste, and then he does one of these. He pulls it up over her shoulders and attaches it somehow, and she looks at the thing, and her eyes are like, she's like, wow, I can't believe this. And she goes, "What does it mean?" And Lord says to her, "Every time you've taken your light throughout your life and you take and you share that light with two or three other people, you're and by that I mean if you are doing something like praying for them, if you are listening when the story is no longer interesting, if you are giving them encouragement, you are sharing your light with each of those people." And Celeste looks at this thing, and she goes, "There's too many. I don't know this many people." And he says, when you do that, those people then share that light again with people that they know. They keep handing out elements of themselves to other people. So that light is being multiplied by the Holy Spirit. And each generation down it goes, you are seeing the multiplication of that light on this garment. And she's just amazed. She's just looking at this thing, and she's absolutely amazed at the multiplication. So then he starts to move forward toward her like he's going to give her a hug, and she steps back. And she goes, no, Lord, you're gonna get burned. And he says, no. He says, this is light without heat. Nothing is being consumed. It's just light. And with that, he took and he put his arms around her, and he gave her this hug and hung on to her, and everything disappeared. They both disappeared. And that was the end of the vision. And so from that, first of all, it settled my heart because it took away any remaining doubt that he's got her, that he's protecting her, she's working for him, she's all in, okay? And it also gave me a ton of hope about doing the same thing. You know, shouldn't we all do the same thing? Shouldn't we all take our light and keep passing it on as many times as we can? I mean, maybe that's how we start the new year, by passing that light around as often as we can whenever we see the need. And so I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that the Lord showed me this thing, and I'm thankful that I hope my robe has started. I'm just thankful that he's got me through this year. And you guys were a big part of that. You guys came to every aspect of this. There was somebody there, Dan and Ann and Joe. I don't know how many times they're there, the hospitals. And I don't know how many times they came to all the other places, the nursing home and the cancer groups and all that. So anyway, thank you all. I appreciate it. And keep those lights going. Thank you.
Amen. All right. May we all light up like that. All right, we're going to sing one more song. We've already sung it. And as the worship team is coming, I'd like to go over a few verses with you before we sing. You can bring up the first one, please. It's from the Psalms. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. This is from James. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. From the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. From the last chapter of the Bible, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Also from the end of the book, and he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And finally, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple, this is New Jerusalem, this is the new heaven and the new earth. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb.